pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Doesn't sound like the PA system's on.
Yeah, stop picking up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, this is the November 6th, 2023 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunter, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunter County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the Township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunter County Democrat, Express Times, Courier News, the Hunter Review, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. We have a new
board secretary.
Board secretary, Taylor. Do you want to say hello and just tell us a little, please?
Hello, everybody. I'm Taylor. I'm from Titusville, New Jersey. And
I'm the board secretary.
I'm the board secretary.
Do we need to make an appointment this evening?
Yes. And he's working in Delaware Township, right? And so you mentioned more board secretary.
I'm currently working in Reddington, coming from Reddington. But I worked as a board secretary previously in Delaware Township.
Welcome. So do we have to
someone's going to make a motion to appoint her as board secretary for the remainder of this year.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Aversa. We're going to try to help a little bit here, so.
Yeah.
So.
Why don't you do the roll call first before you do the motions?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was my fault. I was going on a rhythm here.
But yeah, that's my fault.
All right, now, would you mind calling the roll?
Aversa?
Here.
Butcher?
Here.
Johnson?
Absent. We're back on.
Higgins? Laser?
Here.
Kleinhans?
Here.
McCaffrey?
Here.
Malay?
Here.
Semay?
Here.
I don't think anybody warned Taylor about this.
Oh, I did.
Did.
Oh, you did. Okay, good.
I was too busy trying to get my order back.
I blew it up on purpose, and I told Taylor, don't get rid of this. When he called Johnson, I'm yelling.
That's not nice.
All right, now I think.
Now we need a motion to appoint Taylor. Miss, what's your last name?
Gribben.
Gribben?
Yeah.
Ms. Gribben as board secretary. I don't know, though, if we...
Got to mute.
So move Mr. McCaffrey.
McCaffrey move.
And then Mr. Glazer. I'm also trying to catch some of these. Should we do a roll call? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We'll practice.
Yeah.
Roll call?
Aversa?
No, he's not eligible.
So watch this. Who's the first alternate?
Johnson. Or I think Johnson is.
And who's the second alternate?
Mr. Aversa.
Right. So we only go with 7 regular members. If one of the regular members is absent, then we go to an alternate. So he's here, he can participate, he can ask questions, he can deliberate, but he can't vote.
Okay.
He has to skip it.
Who was the other one?
Johnson. Yeah,
he's not
here. Okay. But for next one, yeah.
Okay. Butcher?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Kleinhans?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes. All right. Congratulations. Now, there are no meeting minutes or resolutions, but there is a master plan consistency review for ordinance number 1190-2023. This is an ordinance of the Township of Clinton, Hunter County, New Jersey, amending Chapter 165 Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton to consolidate various zoning districts along the Route 31 corridor into a new HC Highway Commercial District, change the C1 district surrounding the Annandale train station to OB2, change the southernmost OB1 district to RC, and establish new conditional use standards and definitions. So this ordinance, just for the benefit of folks, we've seen it, we've recommended it, it's gone to the council, the governing body, and now
it's been introduced at first reading, so now it's been referred under section 26 of the MLUL to the planning board to conduct the master plan consistency review. And if you look at Tom's memo, the second page after item number 10, that paragraph is, I couldn't say anything different than what's in that paragraph. That's the role of the planning board.
Mm-hmm. So maybe what I just wanted to tee that up and then throw it over to Mr. Behrens, who was our board planner. And maybe Tom, you could just go through some of the highlights on this.
Good evening. For the record, Tom Behrens,
it's not a hearing, so I don't have to
Tom Behrens, board planner, emergency associate. So, this ordinance, which was introduced by the governing body on October 11th, 2023, is the culmination of the board's effort to, amend the ordinance to, make certain modifications to, certain zones, permitted uses, and other components of the ordinance. So all started when the board adopted its 2023 reexamination report of the master plan, which included amendments to the land use plan and housing plan outlook of the Clinton Township master plan. That's a long title. And that document was adopted March 6th. So as the chairman alluded to, a lot of the ordinance was already recommended by the planning board in that document, fairly specifically and almost verbatim in some cases. Specifically pertaining to some of the zone changes, which I'll reiterate, as well as some of the definitions and other zoning considerations. So, in addition to the, summary of the ordinance, the chairman touched on a few of those. So again, what this ordinance does is it establishes a new HC highway commercial zone, basically along Patrick E 31 corridor. And this is similar to what the township has done about 2 years ago for Route 22, where it consolidated three existing zones, which sort of created a hodgepodge along the corridor. So the effort was to create some bit of zoning consistency along Route 31. And in this case, we're consolidating the existing C1 zone, OB2 zone, and it also incorporates parcels from some select other zones. And the ordinance does contain a map one of the pages which shows the areas in question to be incorporated in the new zone, and that would be on Exhibit C. So basically all the parcels shaded in that, what we call the salmon perhaps?
Yes, yeah,
salmon. Mm-hmm. Salmon, okay. Yeah. Would be the parcels that would be incorporated in this new HC highway commercial zone. And the second ordinance change would be the rezoning of the existing C1 zone around the Annandale train station to the OB2 zone. The reason being that the C1 zone primarily caters to more retail-oriented sales and service type businesses, where the OB2 zone allows for a bit more development flexibility that would be more appropriate to the area surrounding the train station. And a map of that area is shown on Exhibit B of the ordinance. And again, it encompasses the train station parcel itself, as well as the solar field to the southeast and an existing mixed-use development to the south. And part of the reasoning, too, is that it's anticipated that eventually the solar field may be replaced and developed in some fashion. And again, the OB2 would give greater development flexibility that would be more appropriate for that area potential. That's the existing C1, so the proposed result would be 2022.
Okay, but you have a map of showing where the woods in this screen, right?
We're highlighting the parcels in the bush.
Okay. Yeah.
So in the legend, it says proposed rezone. So it shows the existing zoning, mm-hmm, and the proposed is highlighted, if that makes sense. Yeah. I understand your question.
Okay.
And that's existing.
So in that, it was not previously all OB2. The one half of the road was C, right?
Well, this is the proposed plan.
Correct.
This is not the, it's not a master plan.
Right.
So what's the exhibit, what exhibit B is supposed to be shown?
the extent of the area to be rezoned.
Okay.
Which is referred.
Okay, so Exhibit B shows the existing zone.
Correct.
And there is no exhibit showing the proposed zone.
It's reflected in the narrative part of the ordinance.
Okay.
My understanding.
Yeah, it is. I'm just... Would that be confusing to anyone or not? It, the ultimate map's going to be changed. So I guess it's
label could be changed.
I would say, too, it matches the OB2 zone on the other side of Annandale Village by the deli and...
No, I understand all that. I'm just...
The
key map, the key legend on a different place,
yeah,
that's proposed rezoning. So maybe...
Right.
Proposed rezoning to...
OB2.
And
I'm just grabbing sections.
All right, and then go to prior exhibit A.
That's OB1 to OB4C.
Right, the proposed rezoning to RC.
Okay.
And those, I mean, you'd have to consult with the township attorney, but I'd be very surprised if the township attorney says those are substantive changes. That's just clarification. My point.
Do you want to mention it now, or you want to mention it once?
Well, I'll have a couple other clarification. We'll get to later.
Yeah.
So we'll keep it on.
I was going to continue with the letter. Keep it as you come back.
Yeah. Okay. So the job's point, the second item, or the third item, rather, I have one on my list, is the rezoning of the southernmost OB1 zone where the township is adjacent to the Reddington
Center. Reddington also is zoned. Gosh, it's from where we are changing the zone all the way down to the river, Reddington is zoned residential.
Correct. And the township's existing zoning surrounding these five parcels are within the RC rural conservation zone. And so because of all the environmental impacts affecting these properties, at least the RC zone that's being contemplated would give them some development potential consistent with what exists around those parcels. And it's noted that at least one of those is publicly owned, and they can kind of use the property as they like to some degree.
Now, that's what you're saying, the southernmost OB1 zone, right. Is that somehow different than the OB1 zones along 31 and entry number 1? Why does this one stand out?
Well, for the reasons that we were just discussing, because it's less conducive for it to be included in the HC zone. So it was thought that the RC zone made more sense for this area of the township, which abuts Reddington and is surrounded by the RC zone.
Right.
And because of the environmental impacts, where it actually couldn't be developed for, you know, retail or commercial use.
Okay. I missed something, but I understand.
Okay, I apologize.
No. I missed something.
We've also got a new definition and a conditional use standard for self-storage facilities, as well as a combined motor vehicle and convenience store use. I think self-storage facilities are self-evident, but the combined motor vehicle and convenience store use, we think of a Wawa or a Quick Check where it has, you know, both sort of a marketplace and a, you know, freestanding gas pump facility.
Yeah, just as to the self-storage, if I recall correctly, the reexamination report recommended that this conditional use be created, but didn't have the specifics. It left the specifics
to the board to develop. I think in a separate document, the board had actually recommended certain recommendations to the council. Most of those recommendations have been incorporated in this ordinance. And the conditional use of self-storage facilities would be permitted in both the CROM zone along Route 22, as well as the new HC highway commercial zone along Route 31 under certain conditions which are stipulated in the ordinance.
Okay.
And the same goes for the combined motor vehicle convenience store use, which has its own set of conditional use standards. The conditional use criteria, an applicant proposing that type of development would have to meet every single one of the conditions or would end up needing to apply for D variance from the zoning board, specifically D3 variance specifically.
Okay, on a combined motor vehicle filling station and convenience store, if it was just a filling station, it's still prohibited?
It would be prohibited.
Okay, it's a combined. It's a conditional use.
Correct. And the combination requires a market or a store of at least 5,000 square feet, so not just a tiny convenience store, but something that would serve the community in an area where such use might not exist. That's the end.
So what do you think is just in the HC zone, correct?
Tom?
Limited to AHC zone. Right.
And convenience store, though, standing alone is permitted, correct?
Would be permitted. Yes. Has been permitted. Oh, will continue to be permitted.
Okay. That assumption.
Thank you. We've also revised the conditional use requirements for fast food restaurants to some degree, basically addressing the issue of drive-through facilities. We've also included new definitions for restaurant takeout, and fast food, as I mentioned. We're also reinforcing the township-wide prohibition of warehouse and distribution uses. We are removing, this is more of a cleanup item, removing all references to the existing RLM2 zone in the planned development overlay. It actually doesn't exist in that overlay, so we're taking those references out. We're also going to amend the OB2 zone, which has a number of permitted uses, to eliminate a current lot area restriction for mixed-use development. Currently, I believe the ordinance says that you need at least, is it 10,000 square feet?
I think 10 acres.
10 acres?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 10 acres. It was a magnitude of. Yeah. You need at least 10 acres to have a mixed-use development, and the thought is that mixed-use development might be more appropriate in, on smaller lots in a limited, reasonable way. So to take that requirement out. And finally, just to amend the zoning map and zoning schedule to reflect all of these ordinance changes. So from the master plan consistency standpoint, really the charge was to identify any inconsistencies in the master plan. I looked through all the applicable documents. I really couldn't find any. And again, it's because we teed up this ordinance earlier this year in this re-examination report, which specifically calls to do these certain things within the ordinance. So, at least from my perspective, it seems that the board could determine that the ordinance is not inconsistent with the master plan.
So, we did actually add the strict prohibition of warehouse fulfillment centers to.
Correct? Right, you
know, Section 16 talks to that. Yeah. But don't forget that as a key point.
Thank you. I think that's important. That's a topic that people are focused on.
What is that in the memo?
Number 7.
Number 7 of the memo is section 16 on page 12.
Aha, got you. Same thing we did on page 22 a couple of years ago.
Right. Great. Extensive.
Okay.
If the board has any questions about the order.
Yeah, any questions for Mr. Mayor?
Consistency component?
Not on the consistency, Tom. Do you want to do
the
consistency
ordinance
first for a minute?
Why don't we do consistency first? Yeah. Consistency is what the charge is, and then you could make any comments you want, but as long as it's, you don't find any inconsistency, you don't have to make any comments.
Right. And I think, you know, we all know, and in Mr. Barron's memo too, a lot of these recommendations came from the planning board and the re-exam. So I would say that makes them consistent because we were the ones who are watching and doing the master plan. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I mean, it's pretty much born from that master plan reexamination. So in my mind, it's consistent.
Well, a re-examination report is not the master plan.
Okay,
it's
fair enough.
Re-examining the master plan. So I think that actually Tom's opinion and conclusion
with the
is correct.
Not inconsistent.
And some evidence of that, he used the fact that it was re-examined and they made these recommendations. But it's actually, wait a minute, this re-exam was
It's both. There were recommendations in the re-examination report. And the land use amendments talked to the rezonings.
Only talked to the rezoning, didn't talk to the other thing.
Not the other
thing.
He's still right.
I always like the double negative. It's not inconsistent. But once in a while, we beat the is consistent.
Yeah.
Why don't we just, does anybody disagree that it's not inconsistent?
The ball moved to say it was consistent.
That's one of the few times
because we're so clear.
I tried.
So someone making a motion to deem it not inconsistent because then and asking the board secretary to do a letter to the county board.
Right. Is there a motion for this?
So
Mr. McCaffrey, is there a second?
I'll second.
I'm going to go slow. The motion is to declare ordinance 1190-2023 not inconsistent with the master.
Right, and to send a letter saying it's we'll get to that too.
Now they're going to do a discretionary thing and decide whether or not they want to make any suggestions, any comments, or anything like that to the governing body.
So shall we do the consistency?
Yes, we have a motion.
We have to vote. We have to vote.
Butcher?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Kleinians?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Millay?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. So, now, okay. So now we have comments. I think we have a comments, Council, but let's all talk about one then. So, on pages 4 and 5, as one of the recommendations that came out was to define restaurants. And so the ordinance does define restaurants, and in the definition of restaurants, we also have a definition of restaurant takeout, or takeout restaurants. And that's great, and it was important that we did that. Unfortunately, in the final draft of the ordinance, the permitted uses were not updated to add takeout restaurants as permitted use. So inadvertently, because the way, of course, we're written, if it's not permitted, it's prohibited.
That's right.
So I think we need to recommend to council that we add the takeout restaurant use as permitted use in HC, because that, I think, was the intent. We never intended to outlaw pizzerias or Chinese restaurants or what the takeout definition was. We'd add to the HC. We add it to C1, which will then go through to CROM, and we add it to OB2. That would be just consistent with the current uses. So it's really getting us back to where we started.
And it wouldn't have any negative impact in the Route 22 corridor.
It would not, because the restaurants that have already permitted
it. So be the same.
So we're really reestablishing the status quo.
Let's get that. But to that point, those uses are currently permitted. So exactly. It's just a matter of differentiating them moving forward. So
exactly.
Whether or not it introduces a new use is a question. I don't think it does, but.
Okay. That's Patricia. That's the township attorney.
Right, right. We'll make the recommendation that we didn't intend to change the status quo in those four zones. So it'd be the, HC is the new zone. We didn't intend to change it there, certainly. C1, CROM, and OB2. And then maybe while we're on the recommendation train, we'll talk about exhibit A and B that we changed that legend.
If you've already got that.
John, okay. Yes, I have that noted.
Do we want it to show current to future state or just current?
If you change the key, then you can see what the intent is. Because the map's going to end up being changed. No one's going to look at this thing.
Fair enough.
Right.
But if the key map's not changed,
everybody's confused.
Yeah.
So, can we vote on the recommendation, or we just don't talk about
it? I think if we all say we agree that
vote on the recommendation to go and put it in a letter.
So it should be reflected in a minute that it was a motion to make those recommendations.
Is it in all eyes, or do we have to do another roll? Get some practice.
Yeah, we got some practice with blanket faces. So is there a motion to include those two recommendations, the one about the exhibit and the other one, Mr. Glazer, just articulated about
the takeout use.
The takeout use and making it consistent. Let's get the status quo.
This is going to be.
I'll make the motion.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mr. Butcher.
And Mr. Butcher. And Ms. Butcher.
She was distracted.
And no, John come on.
It was out of order. Not to worry if you miss something, that's why you have to pay the court.
Right.
Well, take as much as you can, because sometimes the tape doesn't always come out.
Yeah.
All right.
And if all else fails,
yeah. All right. Roll call on those two recommendations to be included.
Butcher?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Kleinians?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Millay?
Yes.
Semay?
Yes.
Okay. If you look at Finish's digital file. What she's done is you can do one letter with a master plan consistency review and then recommendations. We could do two separate letters.
So for the public, I know
That wasn't a public hearing. That was just board business. Was anybody here specifically on that or had some question on that?
Sorry for the public, because our Mac is black and white, and I know you're talking about colors, so it's hard for us to see what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know that we have the ability to print color in the office. It's on the website. It's posted on the township's website, just so you know. You'll be able to be, if you go to the council agendas page, that ordinance with those attachments in color should be attached.
I didn't see the ordinance on the website. I found the agenda for tonight.
No, it'll be on the council's agenda, not ours, not the planning board.
But even on this agenda, wait, can't you click that box?
It is in the box.
So if you go to our agenda online, there's a link up there that goes to all these documents online. So that'll hopefully
show you what you're talking about.
On the digital copy of the agenda online.
This is the box. This is the box one. So if you click on that, you'll have every item on the agenda. There'll be a file for it. Then open that file and get the document.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Just give us your name.
Yeah, you identify. Yeah. Can you spell your name?
P-O-C-C-E-F-C-H-I.
Okay, and your address?
No, we don't do addresses anymore, but just the township you live in.
Yeah.
The council has moved away from addresses because then it's got to be redacted because of the what's its law.
Okay, fine. You're a township resident, yes?
Yes, the HC1, is this a new zoning classification we're introducing to our town? Is it new to Hunter County in general?
It's sort of new. We've taken the existing uses in the round one zone,
right,
and the C1 zone that were existing on Route 31.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of a checkerboard if you look at the current zoning. And we said, you know, we want to get rid of the checkerboard and have some cohesive planning on Route 31.
But you haven't explained. So all the uses from the C1 and all the uses from the ROM 1 are now all
And there were only a few that weren't.
Did the ROM research office and commercial into the highway.
Person in close proximity to one of these parcels that are on Pink Mountain, I have a concern with that rezoning because there's housing along it directly impacting one of my residences, but it's not exactly the one parcel isn't exactly on 31. It's more on Allerton Road as well as 31 that was long prior to this recommendation. So my question really is, can we have more of an explicit explanation of what this HC1 is as compared to ROM versus C1 only? And is it in there? Because I couldn't clearly find it. And is it...
It's not the ordinance. It wouldn't
be. Are you exam report? I think
And I think to summarize it, basically we took what was in C1, but not OB1, was it? OB1? Rob, I'm sorry, C1 and...
Let me try to help. You live probably close to a church on the corner?
I do.
Right. Okay, so that parcel has not changed. Oh, excuse me. The two parcels, okay, you've got the jug handle.
Yes.
There's a small lot on the highway that's owned actually by DOT. And then the other lot on Allerton is owned by the church for their parking lot.
Correct.
Those three, the jug handle, a little guy on 31, and the one that you're probably most concerned with, the church parking lot, haven't changed.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell from the map.
Yeah, it gets...
you can put something a little bit bigger. If I expand it, I can't see. But my main question here, are those properties that have been identified as rezoned, they're set in stone, so that I can look further?
The council introduced the ordinance in first reading.
Yes.
This is just a review of whether or not it's consistent. It then goes back to the council for a public hearing. That's the time if you want to be heard by the council, because there are people that can actually adopt that ordinance. That's when you definitely do that.
There is a chance, especially given the recommendation from the board, that the council will have to reintroduce.
Listen, that's up to the
council. I'm just saying.
Alright, so this is just discussion to make sure it's in line with our master plan.
Correct, right.
And those properties aren't set in stone, and somewhere I can find the differences and
take the agenda.
Yep.
And take that.
I have that link.
Yes. Exactly.
I
take that.
I printed out the 13th page or 15th page document.
Alright, all the way at the bottom, you can see what I'm looking at. And you can actually see a lot you're concerned with.
Which, on your phones, what document are you looking for? Because I can tell you what she wants to know.
This, John, is the colored map. The last exhibit.
Exhibit
yeah.
C.
Yeah,
I understand. Right. She wants to know a list of what uses are permitted in the HC zone. That's what she's asking for.
The exhibit to the ordinance. So we looked the exhibit back. Exhibit D. Has a list of all permitted uses, starting with 169, so page up.
So if you look at those two things, you can sort of figure out what.
Yeah, I was just looking for something a little bit more clear in regards to what was there before.
Well, if you look at the existing, so ROM 1, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you go to the existing ordinance, look at ROM 1.
Online.
Do you have a copy of this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So your question pertaining to this, Mr. Higgins said, junking it on two small lines.
No, it's not. Well, it's hard to tell from even this map, even if I expanded on my computer, which I did, of what's there, because I do see the parcels, but it's the field next to the junk handle.
Okay,
and
the 45
small
or
lot is, where some of it faces 31,
yeah.
And the other one is primarily not the
chip. Yeah, right? That's a 45 acre thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my concern. It just seems to me, to stick out from the planning in regards to that corridor, because it's more inside 31 than facing 31.
Well, it does face 31 pretty significantly.
Lower one, but then there's two lots there too, from my understanding. But I'm not sure about that. I have to look that
up. Well, the one lot is purely on Allergan Road, so that would have fallen outside. They have a little DOT lot.
I think another consideration, and one of the reasons it ended up in the HC zone, and I understand your point, is that that larger parcel is pretty severely constrained with environmental constraints, so a lot of that land can't be developed. And so the rezoning gives at least the Route 31 frontage a chance of being developed with something that makes sense for
Route 31. So it's just tagged along, for lack of a better word, because of the Route 31.
Yeah.
Primarily
and as Tom said, because particularly there's a stream that lies there and makes it very, very difficult, if not impossible, to develop it along Allergan. There is a portion on the 31 that is developed.
That's not going to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. It's only going to get harder for development, not easier.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Now we have a public hearing. This is Clinton Agricultural Associates, Block 7, Lot 3, application 2013-14. The applicant is seeking a modification of conditions 15 and 16 of Resolution 2013-19 as modified, requesting an extension of time within which to obtain permits and certificates of occupancy for phases 1 and 2 of the development.
I'm going to recuse on this.
All right, Mr. McCappers.
Uh-oh. The incredibly shrinking chairman.
John, this is a non-notice public hearing.
Correct.
This is a non-notice public hearing.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Stephen Gronberg, attorney from Flemington, New Jersey, on behalf of Clinton Agricultural Associates. I have with me Mr. Harold Wilbert. And we are here to request an extension of the planning periods on conditions 15 and 16 of the prior resolution. And in my letter, I indicated that phase one of the project is essentially complete. And I'm sure you're wondering what essentially complete means. And essentially complete means that the buildings and all the improvements for phase one have been completed with the exception of some of the pavements. Half of the paving was done, but there's some additional paving that needs to take place. We suggest that we can accomplish that by June 2024, and we request a time period to complete that to June of 2024. Phase two is...
Stick with phase one.
Okay.
So, Mr. Bloomberg attached the last modification resolution with his request. Resolution 2018-12. So that's attached to the letter that you guys have. So if you turn to the second to last page in the packet, you'll see condition number 15. So condition number 15, the applicable part we're talking about, begins the third sentence. It said the applicant shall complete the paving of the remainder of the parking lots and obtain satisfactory final inspections of the parking lots by June 1, 2019, with the paving of the remainder of the parking lots to commence no later than April 7, 2019, which shall be completed as part of phase one of the proposed project. During said period or extension thereof is granted by the board, the paving is not completed, or the final inspection of the paving is not obtained, the underlying site plan approval shall automatically expire and become null and void. Further, the applicant shall obtain a permanent CO for the entirety of phase one by February 1, 2020. So, stick with phase one with condition 15. It's not simply the paving condition you're seeking to modify. Isn't it also the condition to get the permanent CO?
Correct. And it would be to complete the paving and get the permanent CO by June of 2024.
Complete paving and obtain permanent CO by June 2024. June what?
June 30th, 2024.
Okay. And then before you go to phase two. Okay, so the board's gonna want to know, okay, what's the problem?
Before
I'm going to phase two, what was the problem in not getting the paving done and why you need till June 30? I'm just trying to streamline it.
That's okay. No, the problem with getting everything done for phase one is that all of the buildings and all of the inspections have taken place. The paving is the last part that needs to take place, given what happened with COVID and the prices of everything being skyrocketed during that time period. And you'll note in your fire resolution, this is a self-financed project that it became cost prohibitive to complete that paving. The paving area has been half completed. If you're out on the site, there's just an additional area that needs to be paved. Given the time with winter coming up now, it's more appropriate to complete that by June 2024.
Okay, now go to phase two.
Phase two.
Then I have additional questions, but I'm thinking this would be...
Okay, no, I appreciate it. With respect to phase two, all of those zoning permits and building permits have been received, and it's currently under construction. Part of it has been constructed for the same reasons, given COVID and the increase in construction costs. That has been delayed, and we need some more time to be able to complete that project. It has all of the zoning permits and the construction permits have taken place, and it's actively under construction. Okay, so we would request a time period to November 2025 to get final CO.
So you want to November 30th, 2025 to obtain
permanent CO.
Permanent CO. And so this is condition 16, right?
Correct.
That's on phase two.
Correct.
Translate
that on phase eight. Yeah, no, sorry.
That's basically the greenhouses.
Correct.
And the only item outstanding for phase one is the parking, the pavement?
That's my understanding. Yes.
That's my understanding, make people nervous.
Yes.
Well, I saw him nodding.
He said, yes. I can speak
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Yes.
You can sit.
Harold Wilbert.
Can you spell your last name?
W-I-L-B-E-R-T.
And you're the principal of the applicant?
I am.
So Mr. Wilbert says, the only thing that needed to be done in phase one is to proceed to phase two.
Okay. So, it sounds fairly straightforward.
Yeah,
Phase one to June 30th, 2024, and phase two to November 30th, 2025.
And I would ask Tom one question, and that is with the rezoning and everything, has any of the rezoning that's going on impacted this site at all? So that if an extension wasn't granted, they would need some other relief.
Not to my knowledge. I think the original approval was back in 2018. Since then, the site on Route 22 was encompassed in that new CROM zone, and that CROM zone consolidated the three prior zones along the corridor, so it only helped to allow for development flexibility, so it didn't take away any development rights. So from that perspective,
there were no limiting ordinances that were adopted since the initial approval in 2018, I just want to make sure. I think it goes.
Yeah, the initial was 2013.
2013.
The last extension
was 2018.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody have any questions or concerns on the board? If not, is there?
I already asked mine.
It is a public hearing, so nobody on the board has any questions. Anybody in the public want to speak on this item? We'll see how long.
Understand. So the thing we're asking for phase one right now is this rather a temporary strip afternoon.
We're not touching that. We're just giving them extra time.
Oh, the extension.
To have to get themselves completed.
Right. They're modifying
and their CO.
So it's just the time.
They want to modify once again conditions 15 and 16 of the 2013 resolution.
Right.
To give them more time.
Yeah.
That's all you're asking. That was
okay. So then more time on phase two. So.
Right.
All right. So is there a motion to grant those two
modifications?
I'll second.
Thank you, Miss Kleinhans. And Mayor Malay. Roll call.
John, could I just ask a question before we have a roll call? I'm looking at the 2018 approval, and you're saying we are amending the 2013?
Yeah, because the 2018 resolution modified resolution 2013-29.
Right.
They're asking to have conditions 15 and 16 of resolution 2013-29 modified again.
Okay.
So the resolution, if you grant it, is going to look very similar to 2018.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to make sure you didn't
change some dates.
I assume that your findings and conclusions are going to be the same as the ones in 2018.
Correct. I wasn't sure if it rolled forward as these things progressed or not. And what John was saying.
Right.
Okay.
And the only thing that changed that was the old one with the C round, but that didn't take.
Correct.
That's a change in wording, but not a change in
means. Correct.
Sorry.
And none of the bulk standards.
Right. It's more important.
Right.
All right. So on the motion from Ms. Kleinhans and a second from Mayor Malay, is there a roll call?
Aversa.
Yes.
Butcher?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Kleinhans?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
Samay?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be here before we know it.
Good luck in the new job. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be here.
I don't think you heard.
All right. Now we have some new business. The preparation of the Gray Rock Road redevelopment plan. So, I don't know. There's a lot of explaining here.
I may just
let you two do a little bit of the explanation.
I want to tee Tom up. You just... Okay, so, cutting through the history here, Township Council told the Planning Board, do an area need study. Planning Board told Tom, do an area need study. Tom did the area need study. Council said, I want to add 3 more lots to the area need study. Planning Board said, Tom, add 3 more lots to the area need study. Tom added 3 more lots to the area. Can we get Tom?
Oh, yeah. Mr. McCaffrey, come back.
That was nice. I
hear
yeah.
Good catch.
I was listening to them back
there. Mr. Roberto saved you, Tom.
He could have kept voting.
Anyway, so finally, Tom's office did the area and need study for all 6 lots. Planning Board held a noticed hearing, and the Planning Board, after the hearing, recommended to the governing body that those 6 lots be declared to be an area in need of redevelopment. The governing body then does not have to hold a hearing, but they take the recommendation of the Planning Board. They can accept it, reject it, do whatever they want with it. They accepted it, and they adopted by resolution, yes, this is going to be an area in need of redevelopment. The statute then says that the township, the governing body can then draft the redevelopment plan, or the planning board can. And I urged whoever would listen to me to let the governing body do it.
Yeah.
And they did. They told the planning board to draft the redevelopment plan, which has to be adopted by the governing body in any event. And after they introduce it, it's got to come back to the planning board for master plan consistency review in any event. But, so, the planning board then told Tom, give us a draft of the redevelopment plan. So that's what you have tonight. So this is his draft. You told him to do it. The governing body told you to do it. And then you have to decide, once you're satisfied with the draft, you then recommend it to the governing body. So this is not a public hearing on this redevelopment plan. The redevelopment plan gets adopted by ordinance. It becomes an ordinance. This is not a public hearing. Obviously, it's being done in public. The public can listen. This is like a public work session. There you go.
So, and I'll go back even a little bit further in time. So before this was even discussed for redevelopment, the easterly side of Gray Rock Road was placed in the AH 10 affordable housing zone. So it became part of the township's affordable housing plan to satisfy, to produce some number of affordable housing units in an effort to satisfy a portion of the township's affordable housing obligation. As that process evolved and as that AH 10 zone was created, it was decided that this area should be reviewed further for a redevelopment designation in order to give the municipality some extra powers to help the site actually develop. For people who might be familiar with the site, there's one, but really the area is stagnant. There's one site that had a prior site plan approval for a medical office. So that project had started and it stopped. I think that stopped probably before my time, you know, 10 years at least here. And that's on the westerly side of the road, as well as the east side of the road is developed with what was once a single family home converted to an office. There's another building used as an office building, another dilapidated building at the intersection of Center Street and Highway 22. So it's clear that this area needs a little extra help in order to develop in the right of this section. It's in sort of a transitional area between the proposed residential zone to the west and the C1 commercial zone to the east, and it also functions as a gateway to the community or the region, getting off of either the highways that are sort of adjacent to that area. So, as John mentioned, the board has before it a redevelopment plan for this area entitled Gray Rock Road Non-Condemnation Redevelopment Plan. The non-condemnation part means that the tool of eminent domain cannot be used. The statute requires that municipalities decide whether or not eminent domain can be utilized at the onset of the process. So in this case, This is a non-condemnation redevelopment plan. And the redevelopment area includes lots 77.01, lots 2, 3, and 4. That's the east side of Grey Rock Road. And again, that's developed with the single-family home. What was a single-family home used as an office, it is vacant now. And the parcel to the south is sort of a triangle shape. There's two buildings, both of which are vacant. The site's clearly dilapidated, should be redeveloped. And we have the west side of the road, which is has the remnants of what started as a foundation for that medical office building, a vacant parcel, and a single-family home that exists in the current OB2 zone. And the areas in total are about 2.4 acres on either side of Grey Rock Road, which bisects the redevelopment area. And so I touched on, you know, the reason why municipalities go through the redevelopment process, and that's because the local redevelopment housing law, which governs that process, gives municipalities certain tools or powers which can help them spur development in these areas. And those powers include, they can include eminent domain, but again, we're not using that here. They allow for towns to adopt a plan, which is what we've done. They allow towns to issue bonds.
Adopt the plan. One thing I said, I was saying to myself, it doesn't make sense. I just checked, I was wrong. I want to correct this. 40A:12A-7, adoption of the redevelopment plan. Subsection E says, if the governing body prepares the plan, prior to adoption of the planning board shall transmit to the governing body within 45 days the report containing recommendations and whether it's not consistent with the master plan. Subsection F says, the governing body of a municipality may direct the planning board to prepare the plan, which is what they did here. After completing the redevelopment plan, the planning board shall transmit it to the governing body, which I was right about, but then the governing body, when considering the proposed plan, may amend it or revise it, but when a redevelopment plan or amendment is referred to the governing body by the planning board, the governing body is relieved of the referral requirements of the prior section. So if we were to, if you send this thing up, you don't have to see it again.
It's
nice. I don't feel it bad.
There you go. Me and you.
I can sleep. We can also.
We won't come back.
So, I was mentioning the redevelopment powers. They also stuff on the top. They include eminent domain. Again, that's not up for discussion here. They allow municipalities to adopt the plan, which is what the board has. They can also, the town can also issue bonds, acquire property when necessary, lease or convey properties. And or create a tax abatement program for this. And I think as John mentioned, this plan more or less functions as the zoning ordinance for this area, and it's being implemented or at least recommended as an overlay zone, which means that the underlying zoning can be maintained, which includes the AH10 zone to the east and the OB2 and the VR zone designations to the west. So that means that if whoever owns those properties doesn't want to use this plan, they can just develop their properties in accordance with the zoning that they already have. So they have an option here. And again, this is being done in an effort to address a portion of the township's affordable housing obligation and relieve development pressure elsewhere in the township. So this plan is divided into several sections, which includes an overview of the redevelopment process governed by the local redevelopment and housing law. It includes an overview of the statutory requirements for a redevelopment plan, and those are on page 4. Section 2 gives an overview of the redevelopment area, which I had described. Again, there's three parcels on either side of Grey Rock Road, which are about 2.4 acres in total on either side for a total of 4.85 acres. And then beyond that, we give an overview of the general provisions of the plan, which again function as an ordinance. Those general provisions include an update to the zoning map and general land use ordinance of the township that stipulates that any prospective developer that may have been in the redevelopment agreement, which is standard for any type of redevelopment area. Process-wise, if this plan and ordinance are adopted by the township, anyone who owns property anyone who owns this parcel, the next step for them would be to submit a site plan application to the planning board. presumably with the design, the use, and the physical aspects that would adhere to this plan, so how tall the building could be, parking requirements, setbacks, etc. It also dictates an affordable housing component in accordance with the township's prior H10 zoning designation and housing plan, for which there's a settlement agreement, which has been essentially certified or blessed by the court, to cover the township from any affordable housing lawsuits, essentially. And it allows developers to request what are known as C variances, or essentially dimensional variances, any requirements of this plan, but you can't ask for any D or use variances from the plan, which is fairly standard for redevelopment plans. Section 4 is the plan itself. It goes over the area again, provides a bit of a purpose and scope, you know, some of the rationale for why we looked at this area and created the redevelopment area designation, again, because it serves as this sort of transitional gateway area in the township. It includes a number of planning goals and objectives, which include the provision of affordable housing to revitalize this area, which again has just remained stagnant for a while, and as developed is generally obsolete and can't really be readapted for use that makes sense for that area. The plan also provides for a list of permitted principal uses. I'm on page 14 of the document now. And so we designed this in such a way where the parcels included in Block 74, which would be the west side of Grey Rock Road, would allow for a number of uses, including multifamily dwellings, townhouses, as well as a number of non-residential uses, including commercial uses, essentially, and office-type uses, as well as restaurants. On the east side, we've kept the parcels contained with Block 77.01. The permitted uses there would be residential in nature in accordance with the township's affordable housing settlement. There's also a list of accessory uses, as well as prohibited uses, including drive-through facilities, outdoor storage, warehouses, motor vehicle service stations. Section 4.7 of the plan on page 15 includes those what we call bulk requirements or dimensional requirements, which establish the lot area, so you have to have at least 40,000 square feet of property to utilize this plan and develop in accordance with this plan. There's a maximum prescribed residential density. There are setback requirements and also building coverage, impervious coverage, and building height requirements. And beyond that, there are a series of called the planning or design requirements, which pertain to typical parking requirements, building design, landscaping requirements, lighting requirements, signage, and all the typical requirements you would find in a zoning ordinance. And some of these requirements just defer back to the township's existing standards and requirements, with the idea being that we're not necessarily trying to reinvent the wheel in terms of what a lighting requirement might be or a signage requirement. The effort here is really to allow these parcels to develop in certain uses and within a certain bulk or zoning framework. And then finally, section 5 of the plan discusses consistency to other plans which the statute requires. We have to look at how does this plan adhere to the current township master plan, how does it relate to the master plans of adjacent municipalities, how does it relate to the Hunterdon County master plan, the New Jersey strategic plan, and also the Highlands regional master plan. So there are, you know, layers of planning that goes on here from the local level to regional to the state level. And so I was going to flip through, but I already did. So that is the plan in a nutshell. And the board's task again is to we're reviewing this plan. The plan was essentially prepared by the board. The board can make any recommendations in terms of adjustments that need to be made or suggestions so that the plan can be finalized, sent to the governing body for consideration, and ultimately introduction, at which point it would be on its way to become an ordinance and dictate what could be developed in this area.
And just to complete matters, Tom did receive some red line suggestions, and that was posted to the box account late
this afternoon.
So if anyone else has anything,
Well, and I'll give an overview of those. So the original draft was dated October 30th. Within the last couple of days, I submitted an updated draft based on some comments received, and so there is a redline version.
What date?
I didn't change the date for the purposes of it, but I indicated that it was draft number 3. So we have draft 3 of this date.
Draft number 3, today's date. And actually, that's when I went to the box link anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So today's date, we were box.
Yeah. Okay. So today's date.
And so I would say that those revisions didn't really change the substance of the plan. They were mostly clarifications.
I agree with that. There's dates that have to be filled in.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some clearing up of just calling it the same Greylock Road. There was a little discussion on the process. It's not really substantive.
I think one, you had 2 dates to fill in.
Yeah.
Well,
somehow I saw it.
Look, it's page 1.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There and there. 2 days.
Well, those are your headlines.
I'm giving it to you.
Okay.
No. That's me to fill in. And then also, there's a big one on page 11.
So I have that area highlighted.
That's it.
And
that would be the next thing.
Right. So this area, that's the affordable housing requirement. So that area is highlighted. So we could get the opinion of Mr. Drill as to what or how we should proceed in that finalizing that requirement. So currently the AH10 zone, which is part of the township settlement agreement, dictates what is to occur in the way of providing affordable housing.
And I believe, right, that what the AH10 ordinance says is an 18-unit multifamily, allows an 18-unit multifamily development on lot 7701, lots 2 and 4.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 16 units, 3 of them are affordable on the other.
And the other one is 4 units are affordable. We're going to look at that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
7's correct. This is the thing we had 36 versus 34 units. We got to fix someday.
Yeah.
More of that.
Yes.
Yeah, the ordinance reads 16 on the single lot with 3 affordable, 18 total on the double lot. Excuse me, on the larger single lot, the dilapidated house, 18 and 4.
Okay. 16 and 18 is 34 total units.
Yeah.
And 4 affordable and 3 affordable,
right. So
7 affordable.
Right.
So that's what this should say.
So that's what the ordinance says. I'll highlight the remember our fair share settlement talks to 36 units, not 34.
Okay.
That's
what this has to say.
Yeah.
36 units.
Right.
Well, but the ultimate question is the provision of
a. No, but this shouldn't. Yeah, this shouldn't. This is a. We should get that granular.
The settlement agreement with fair share, that talks about the affordable units.
That's right. The other number in there, John.
Yeah, because I believe it had the other number in there. So if that's what the settlement agreement says, then 34 should be bumped up to 36.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I mean, same.
Yeah. It was a scrimmage error when we adopted H10. I think we all admitted that somebody would go back.
Okay, but fine. 36. Mm-hmm. How many in which lot?
Oh, well, that didn't change. The 4 and the 3 is the same.
Yeah. Okay. How many total units?
You got to get to 36.
It
should be 18 and 18.
So the reason that it's highlight, well, so that's a question. So we have additional units
in the number.
I have a concept for 18, the one that currently has 3 units.
I think the way to do it is 18 and 18. One gets 3 affordables and one gets 4. The larger
got 4.
Got 4.
That was the fair share conversation.
Right. And that's the Scrivener's error screwed up the AH10 ordinance.
A little.
But this will fix it.
Mm-hmm. So 18, I may have
18.
No, I understand. And 20% set aside for the west side. So we're allowing residential to occur on the west side, Grey Rock, which would have the standard set aside for 20%, which would be bonus if everything else.
That's correct.
Tom, on page 15, you have footnote references 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
I think you scratched 2.
The reason being, so originally we had the old Highway 22 frontage considered a rear yard for the purpose of establishing a separate setback. And then in the course of reviewing this and receiving comments, it seemed to make sense just to call it a front yard as it exists.
So the lot is only 100 feet wide at Center Street, right? I looked at the tax map. It's not 100 feet wide.
So at its narrowest
point. At its narrowest point, which is down at Center Street. And then it gets wider as it goes off to towards Route 31. So when we're calling that the front, that implies that we want the entrance to be from the Route 22 side? I'm just sort of thinking like where the driveway is going to be for a second. Because my preference is the Grey Rock side, and that's my preference.
Yeah, I think I did spell out what the access would be to the site.
I don't know what the circulation might be.
77-01,
number 4 would be.
Yeah,
04, that's a 1 now. That would provide some Grey Rock. So that's 77-01. So it comes from Grey Rock. So the access is from Grey Rock, I guess I'm struggling as to why the front would be on 22.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the comment. Someone else that raised this issue. So first of all, the dimension didn't change.
Right.
When it was the rear yard, it was 35 feet.
Right.
Here's 35 feet.
Right.
The difference would be in terms of what's permitted in the front yard versus the rear yard as how you might want to treat.
That's right.
Frontage. So in terms of
permitted
parking would be allowed, accessory structures,
right.
Those sorts of things. Again, the plan allows for C variance relief. So the plan makes sense and the justifications can be made.
Right. You know,
obviously we prefer to prevent any issues.
Right.
So do you have any thoughts, rear yard versus front yard? I'm trying to think of a scenario where it would become possible. Again, the dimension is the same.
Right. The dimension's the same, it's just accessory structures generally are not allowed in the front.
Right.
But again, if they had a good reason to have it, even if they repeat their 66 units in, they get a C variance to have the cot thing.
Oh, yeah.
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 But part of the thinking, too, as a gateway to, you know, sort of that's kind of the main front of it.
Right.
When you travel along Old Highway 22, you probably want it to be at least treated, maybe not have the primary access, but at least look like it front.
But it makes the review occur when there's a site plan.
Right, like a normal development.
So will that footnote 2 reference stay in this document?
I have it scratched out. So.
Yeah, but you have to, in your table of you have
it. Take it out of the table. You took out the note, but take it out of the
top.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
And why not extend the uses, the permitted principal uses, to all the lots so that they all have the same?
No, because the lots on the eastern side is still part of our settlement with their share, and it doesn't contemplate non-residential. It's got to be,
because it talks about inclusionary housing, right?
Yeah. So
it has but one of the uses is residential.
On the west side, they don't have to be, but you can. On the east side, you don't want to allow something that's not residential, but they're not going to get their affordable units.
We did touch on that in the ordinance committee, and it's parking. The Tommy Agers lot, for instance, that's so constrained because of slopes.
Fair enough.
They have underbuilding parking there. A larger parcel, if you're going to put 18 units there and provide adequate parking in a three-story building, having a story of commercial or other just won't work.
Okay.
So ultimately, we felt it was constrained by that.
And John, under pressure, it would be impossible then to say, I'm not saying we would do this, if anyone can make it work, commercial on the first floor, four affordable units on the top. But that's a whole change in the fair share.
You don't want to amend that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, because it's got to be inclusionary housing, so we're saying.
Public knowledge, on November 15, we have the appellate division argument on the Colonel Savage appeal of that. Okay, revised Third Amendment to the settlement agreement.
Okay.
It would be a very bad idea, in my opinion, to further amend that settlement agreement.
Okay. So that's why we'll get back to this.
I mean, this thing, you know, becomes the law of the land, but it's not set in stone. So if somebody were to come with a viable plan that makes sense, the plan should be imagined at any time to
take action.
Right.
If they figured it out. So if you guys are satisfied with this version 3, which is in a box link, and the additional comments that are made tonight, and Tom knows he's got to fill in 2 dates, and he's got to fix the thing from the 34 units to 36 units, you could make a motion to have Tom, you know, finalize his version and have it sent to the township council with a recommendation to adopt it. Or, if you wanted, have him bring it back here one more time, but I would hope that you could just make the motion to have him make the changes and send it up and then get it out of here.
What do you all think on the board? Okay,
I'm good with it.
It's clear on the east side in terms of the number of units, and I understand why.
Right.
Currently, what had been discussed leading up to this is that there would be a density of 16 units per acre on the west side. And I guess just my question is, should that be left at 16, or should
it? What's the density on the east side?
Essentially 18 per acre.
Yeah.
16
is better than 18.
Yeah, I mean, it abuts residential properties. Yeah.
It does, it's up high, we talked about.
That's not for the attorney, that's for the
typically, we try to keep
it.
It's a tough one, because we typically go for 13, right?
Right, so 16 is a concession getting there, and the idea was it makes it more developable. My personal view is 18 was a little high, and you did that, because it's so constraining on the east, we kind of had to. But it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, I suppose.
Yeah, and I just don't like that. That's up against other residential signs. I mean, that was when we added those lots, that's where we added them on that, if I remember.
Put it this way. You don't have an obligation in the settlement agreement to do anything on the west side.
Right.
We have an obligation on the east side.
Right. So that's why
it is being stretched as
How many acres is the west side?
Well, there's 3 parcels, and they're on the table. So you have 4 parcels together.
There's the one parcel that fronts Gray Rock, which is 1.44 acres. And in total, it's 2.4 acres.
Well, break that.
I mean, I would just make, I think we're trying to take what we had to do to settle something that was unique. And now we're trying to use that as the cookie cutter or the justification to go across the street. I would leave it at 16.
I wouldn't even make it go down to 13.
There's a good way to distinguish the east from the west side, like if you wanted to keep the west side at 16 and not go to 18.
It's also adjacent to other residential areas.
The elevation is high.
If a plan came forth and it was 18 rather than 16, what happens?
Board of Adjustment.
Well, the plan doesn't allow for D-variances.
That's a D-variance.
Right.
We
have to change it.
And then it's the redevelopment plan, right, because this plan says you can't go to the Board of Adjustment.
16.
You okay?
Hold on. You go to 13. It could be amended if it's a good plan.
Could do that, too.
I mean, because our norm has really been the 10 to 13, hasn't historically. I mean, if it's a good plan that redevelops the area, council could talk about amending it with, you know, coming back and forth, of course.
Hey, the fourth round is coming along in July 2025.
Don't remind me.
No, but what I'm saying is, put it at 16 or 18 now. Put it at 13, and then maybe.
Yeah.
What it's worth, I mean, we have the standard 35-foot height on that side. So we're not.
Oh, that'll help.
Right. We're not intending to go above.
Right.
You know, the residential height that's allowed.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to. I don't know if that's what.
Most of the other affordable housing sites are at 12 acres.
They're 12, exactly.
Not 13.
No, it's 12. So we can do 12. I'm good with 12. 12 is still
the
30 units.
We don't want to be putting on due pressure. But you have a clear way of distinguishing between the east side and the west side.
And we always have the tax thing.
Yeah.
And what are the other, just for the record, what
and that's if it's over there.
In this redevelopment?
That's what I said, yeah. Well, a lot. Commercial, retail.
Yeah.
Rather. I don't think commercial.
Yeah, medical office. Yeah. It'd be mixed, too. They could have one building's medical and one could be residential.
You guys are more the, you guys tell us, you know, you see where I'm more you and down.
Less is always better, but
less density is better than one. What do you guys want to say? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I heard a proposal for 12.
We wanted to double it, and so whatever that threshold is, I don't know.
Retail, medical, offices, banks, and financial institutions, for restaurants, and takeout.
Well, let's do 12, though. Let's go. If you can raise it up.
Let's do 12.
Exactly.
Well, we could always do that.
Right. We'll do that, or if a developer comes with a really good plan and it's 13, that can be considered. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the right rights, we just have to do another extra step. I just hate to have a high density.
You guys just have to decide which one. Why don't you like,
yeah, so
why don't you go up and down and pull?
Why don't we go? We'll start down at that end. Pick a number between 12 and 18.
12. I was still at 16, but I'll
come down. Come up down.
I'll go to 12 if that's.
I was ready to go to 13.
I was at 16.
Right.
I think the consensus is, you know, lower than that fine, but just make sure we're not
overly restrictive.
We don't want to go through all of this and find out nobody's interested
because there's nothing going to help. That's okay.
Can we reevaluate?
You've got setbacks, you've got height limits, and you've got leases parking requirements that can't be avoided. So, you know, it's
how I say this. Let me say one thing. What is the density? So how many of the affordable housing projects are redevelopment projects in the township versus nine? So the Beaverbrook is a redevelopment.
Old municipal building is technically, even though it's only one unit.
Okay. Yeah. But what's the density of the old municipal building?
I just did Beaverbrook's 13
approximately. I thought 13 was the number.
The old municipal building, it's about an acre, but it's
12
units.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what, I'm not a planning board member, but as I am the affordable housing attorney. So I would not, you're going to have a redevelopment area on this east side. That's 18 units an acre. Okay. This is the highest density. This is,
but it is.
Has to be because you've entered into an agreement with fair share. My fear would be if you make the other side the same thing or even 16, you're now setting a standard for redevelopment plans for affordable housing. If, on the other hand, you keep it at 12, you're being consistent with what you did with your other two redevelopment plans. And those were being developed with residential housing. Mm-hmm. And you have these other uses on the west side, and it's more than they have right now. Mm-hmm.
And if I multiply out the density per acre, it rounds down, or does it round to the nearest half? So if it's 29.2, where does it go?
Depending on who you talk with.
I'm talking to you.
Well, listen, I would round it down.
You talking?
But sometimes, fair share, even if it's below 0.5, tries to round it up. Okay? So, for all those reasons, the conservative approach.
It's 30. So 12 would be 30 units. Total.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is actually less than across the street.
There's no rounding number. If it's
I think the consensus was the 12.
I was conservative.
You and I were more, a little higher. You can convince me, I'll support 12.
I don't want to convince. I just want to give you a needle.
But
you
guys convinced.
I know the logic is we are setting.
To me, it's an area that is similar
here.
Yeah.
If you put On the western side?
Yes.
Yes. I was informed by your main office in 31 South that the Mount Laurel meeting was...
The Ingerman development was supposed to be... They noticed tonight, but the board told them that the board professionals were not ready. We should have made that announcement in the beginning of the meeting. That hearing is going to be continued without need for further notice to November 20th. It's not being heard tonight. That's our bad. We should have said that the minute the meeting started.
Yes, I went down to the main office.
Yes.
That's what they told me.
Right.
Definitely tonight.
Right.
It was on 2 days.
Correct.
Wednesday and tonight.
It was the 20th, and again, that is our bad for not saying at the beginning of the
meeting. What's Wednesday?
It's not Wednesday.
What was the date for Wednesday?
They had 2 days. I found 2 days.
Right.
With today and Wednesday.
Not Wednesday. They had today and the 20th. November 20th, which is a
month. Oh, no. There was an AH. So I understand, I think. So I think what you're talking about is the rezoning ordinance. So there was an error in the notice, a deficiency in the notice for the rezoning ordinance, where the title for the rezoning ordinance had AH-10 on it.
Okay.
So
that's not. That's not what he's talking about.
That's for Wednesday.
That was in the main office.
That's for Wednesday. And because it's also on for tonight, it was an error. There's no AH-10. Okay. I think that's what it is.
I'm going to put the public hearing on Ingerman's proposed project.
That's what it is.
The
Route 31.
Can I see the notice you're holding in your hand?
Isn't this first run Route 31 age 9? Ingerman?
Yeah.
Or was it age 9 that was referenced? I just learned of this afternoon.
I didn't see the notice.
So the notice in the paper says, please take notice on November 6th, which is tonight, the planning board is going to hold a public hearing on the Ingerman Development Company's application for amended preliminary and final site plan and bulk variance approval to permit construction of a multifamily 100% affordable housing residential development on Block 70, Lots 6 and 6.01, which is located at 1726 and 1731, and is situated in the AH-9 Affordable Housing District. So we're making an announcement. That hearing is not going to take place tonight.
Oh, I can see that now.
I understand. I said, I'm taking responsibility. My bad, blame me. I should have, at the beginning of the meeting, I should have said, that hearing is going to take place on Monday, November 20th at 7 p.m.
Because it doesn't say in the letter.
Correct. They all say November 6th. We understand. We continue there. I want to make everyone clear about something. Ingerman did not
on Friday.
Date.
Yes,
the board professionals could not get reports that they were satisfied with to the board members before tonight. It's a big application.
Yeah,
it's a big application, okay? It's less than what it was going to be before, but it's a big application nonetheless, and the board felt that it would be very important to have its planner and its engineer do docket full reports rather than have time pressure. So the board decided to continue it to November 20th. So there's not going to be a new notice. It's being continued to November 20th without any further notice, and I apologize again, we're not making the announcement at the beginning of the hearing.
But the agendas typically do go out on Fridays.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, so that's, so hold on. Hold on. Can you let me, just give me a second. I will explain. The board has been without a secretary for about a month and a half.
Yes.
So during that time, the agenda has been prepared by me on my off time, which I got it done around 7 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact for us.
Yeah, that's
years, I have to check every night to see if it's the planning board and you're changing everything around.
I was at the time unaware that Ingerman had noticed.
Right.
That's even more bizarre though. Why wouldn't they have
excuse me. We didn't have a secretary. You guys understand? We didn't have a secretary for 6 weeks.
But when did the secretary leave? Because I've been dealing with this
middle of September.
Okay.
As I said, that
So 6 months ago, you had a secretary, and yet the agenda is still come out at 6 o'clock the night before. So we have to postpone our lives.
Well, I mean, it was Friday.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm just saying, so 6 months ago, forget the lives until last minute. It's always the nights before we have checks, and we have to delay our lives. And
it's usually, she wouldn't know.
My property. Yeah.
Well,
it's not deliberate.
Right. I think I talked to you down to my office, and you gave me your card. I'm pretty sure I have your card. You told me you would call me if whatever day it was. And, you know,
well, as I said, I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I don't have your card. No. I don't know about, I did not know about the notice for tonight for Ingram. That's what I'm saying.
It's over. What can we do about it? November 20th.
November 20th.
Then it's not going to be changed.
It's not going to be changed.
And we'll make sure that everything's up on the website Friday before the meeting in the box.
I'm telling you, it's going to be November 20th.
But it'll be...
Okay? It's going to be November 20th.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait for Friday. Put it in your book now, November 20th, 7 p.m.
That information, like if you know that's coming out on November 20th. Why isn't that?
Because I'm taking personal responsibility. I don't know how many times I can say this. I knew last week it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Stop. I'm not talking about what happened. I'm saying forward looking.
Mm-hmm.
If you know a topic is going to be on an agenda at November 20th, why is it not announced until the 19th?
Well, here's the problem. We don't put the whole agenda together. We don't know everything that's ready. So otherwise, we'd be having a constant influx agenda.
Well, I think there are statutory time frames that drive a little bit of this, too.
An agenda under the law has to be out 48 hours before the meeting, which means if the meeting's on Monday, the agenda can be out on Friday. By law.
When is the council meeting? The next council meeting is on Wednesday.
Correct.
Does that has to be out 48 hours in advance?
It should be.
It's not out.
It should be up.
No, it's not.
Okay, it's water over to Dan. Yeah. It's going to be
November 20th. It is. Apologies.
All right, man.
You know,
I'm sorry.
From our perspective, it seems very strategic that everything's last minute because people can't drop everything and come to these meetings.
Yeah.
It's
not.
No, but the professionals that go to this meeting, they are not notified at 6 p.m. the night before. So it's not, all of us have jobs, so it's not fair to us to have to delay our lives at every one of these meetings. It's just crazy. Again, like,
yeah, and I know we had a number of issues with the notifications for the notices for council meetings in August that was without a clerk. So it was a little bad timing.
The only thing I'm glad is that's not my fault.
No, that's not your fault. No, there were deficiencies for those.
Apologies again.
Thank you.
But thank you for letting me know about the agenda for the council. I'll get it. I'll get it up now.
Where are you guys from Grey Rock Road?
We were at 12, I think.
So, by consensus, are you guys telling Thomas 12 minutes?
Let me answer this question. Tenants, I mean, guys, you said the higher number. Do you have any evidence to back up why that's a better choice?
No, I like the rationale that the other affordable housings are 12-ish, and it works, and I like to keep it consistent, so I'm changing my votes.
Okay, John, you were saying the higher number. Do you have any basis for that, or you're...
He changed his opinion also.
He's kind of coming around. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. So if we put that to 12 an acre.
Do you have any other questions?
No more questions. No, but I just wanted to clarify that one
issue. No, that's a very, very good one. So with those couple of changes that we talked about and the incorporating the red lines that are in here, is there a motion to
complete the revisions
and send it out to the council with our recommendation?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second? I'll second it.
Mr. Sumay.
Roll call.
Butcher?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Glazer?
Yes.
Kleinhans?
Yes.
McCaffrey?
Yes.
Malay?
Yes.
Sumay?
Yes. Okay, so that motion carries. That was a good discussion. That was some good work. Thank you to Mr. Behrens and the ordinance team and the folks who helped provide information on that. I don't think you have any vouchers this meeting. We'll try to get them out for the next meeting on the 20th. Anything else? Do we have some reports? Do you want to do some quick reports while we're at it? Council?
Well, in addition to a new secretary, we have minutes being prepared for the board from an external source. So that's been in the works for a couple months. So the catch-up minutes, going back quite a while, those should be in the works. We hope to have on Wednesday appointed a new administrative assistant for the office. That should help relieve some of the load and hopefully enable agendas to get posted a little bit more efficiently and quickly. We're going to have to defer, I think, the ordinance tonight and reintroduce it because of the notice deficiency.
The notice was deficient, sir. So we were so, the notice was deficient.
Okay. Yes, I think the plan has been amended.
Between the two things, it's a no-brainer.
Push it off.
I'm trying to think what else we've got going on. It's quite a bit. That's what I can think of on the top of my head. Batting cages. I'll take a look at that agenda. This was the only ordinance that was going to be on. Some vehicles for the police. Taylor. And that's it. Oh, and an open space acquisition application to the county. Move that along.
To get funds from the county?
To get funds and participation from and coordinate an acquisition with them.
Do we have a lot identified or we disclose that?
We do. I don't know. I would ask the open space chairman to report his report if he wants to. He's currently engaged in a side conversation.
Yeah, I was just asking if we're going to apply for open space funds, we must have a target in mind.
Yeah, we do. Does the target know that they're in mind? Because if they don't, I would not.
Yes, they do.
Of course not. I'm not trying to just. I just didn't know that you could apply for something and not disclose.
Yeah, the target's been notified.
Okay.
In the real time.
Okay. Anything from the ordinance subcommittee?
No, I'd say we're going to, now that we've got these through the system, we need to regroup and reprioritize. I know the ED one is on our docket, probably. Yeah. For one of the top ones. There's a side one. There's several.
Wasn't there like a backyard, front yard issue on pass-through lots or something?
Yeah, we've got to go back to that.
We don't look at that.
We got a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. That's about the gentleman that thing that involves community participation.
Yeah, talk louder. It's like the resiliency one. Thank you. So this be part of our conversation on planning priorities for next year. Well, map it to you now.
Resiliency,
that's part of the master plan.
Yes, right. And we owe that.
Yes.
Element.
Yes.
And on that point, we've been waiting for guidance from the Highlands and the county, who are supposed to be providing a guiding regional document or framework from which to work.
Speaking of the Highlands, has have those invoices been provided to them?
Not yet, but they're about to. I've got the engineers.
So we need to reprioritize some stuff in this
one. That's a five ordinance.
Sign ordinance, the ordinance,
All right, what else? Environmental? That's you?
Yeah, a few things. So we had another meeting that was canceled a while ago, but there was getting the 2024 budget ready.
Mm-hmm.
For the committee.
Yeah.
There was also a letter of support that was submitted on behalf of the EC, in respect of Solstice Power for any community solar programs. So it's just something that a letter that Mario initiated. Couple of applications for freshwater wetlands, and I know it's two new members that joined. I haven't personally met them, Amelia and Dan, to the EC as well. And on the prior agenda, there's some review of a number of the letters that have just been shared at least days at some level, you know, as standard practice. But that's about it.
Good. And historic, I think that's Kate. We should check with her. When was she?
Well, she responded that she was unable to attend tonight because she was traveling. So I think she's back in the mix.
Right. Okay.
And we did have a number of meetings canceled, so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, welcome, Taylor. Hopefully we'll get ourselves a little back on good structure and process. Anything else, anybody? If not, is there a motion to keep it?
Oh, yeah. Mike's like, I can't vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's your question. I'm not super familiar with these meetings. I came because I had a question about something in the master plan. Why don't you come to a certain kind of meeting to be able to ask that question?
Yeah, I mean, the master plan was already discussed in a hearing earlier this year.
Right, like I'm more just came because I'm curious.
Yeah. I guess it's adjourned. We got to reopen.
It's adjourned. Reopen it. Shall we reopen?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
No, this is going to complicate your mess.
I usually ask people, but I assumed, unfortunately, that we were here from the Ingerman discussion.
So, believe it or not, I didn't know about that. So, it is about me.
We're back to adjourn. So, you want to give us your name and
my name is Luke Fresolone, Fresolone.
Did you get that?
I knew that again, yeah.
Slow.
F is in Frank, R E F. I said it in Frank. F R E S O L O N E.
And you're a county resident?
Yeah, county resident. So I was looking at the specific changes recommended for the age 9. And it mentions in the first paragraph that it's required 55%.
Changes recommended?
Specific changes recommended. That's just what the page
says. This is the reading test. That's from the reading test.
Yeah. It says required 55% affordable housing set aside to generate minimum of 80 units because we have the Township's Third Amendment to the Settlement Agreement of Fair Share Housing.
No, this is a requirement.
I got this. Right. So. What date is that reading day? That's not
March. It says 2023.
That's March of 2023.
Okay.
That's not the
current ordinance we discussed.
It's not the current reading day. Is it? That's the March?
It
is.
That is.
Paragraph. I think the paragraph goes on to mention.
Yeah, so really my question actually comes up in the second.
Yes. Paragraph. So read the second paragraph.
So it says, given recent changes in economic conditions, specifically interest rates and new NJDEP regulations, there's a potential for substantial modifications to the project, including the potential of reducing or eliminating the market rate units. And then it says, ideally, that they would add some units anyway. I guess I like
to put this. So here's what happened. So the application that's going to be heard on November 20th is going to be their revised amended application. The township's already adopted an ordinance change.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of providing
146
total units, where 55% would have been affordable and 55% of 146 is 80, instead of that, the project is now 100% affordable, a total of 96 units.
Oh, okay.
So the total project went from 146 down to 96, but the number of affordables went from 80 to 96. So they're producing 16 additional affordable housing units. Some of them can be used for this third round to eliminate either two or three special needs units. And the additional units are going to be towards the township's fourth round, which is going to start in July of 2025.
I said don't remind me.
So you're saying it was going to be 146 units to 90. So the size of development is shrinking.
That's correct. The size of
the number of affordable is going up.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And just for the record, there was a consent order signed by the Mount Laurel judge, basically saying that we don't have to amend the revised Third Amendment to the settlement agreement. The consent order says because the number of affordables are going up and because the number of total units are going down, we're going to treat it as if it's consistent with the revised Third Amendment to the settlement agreement.
Okay, so that's why this isn't changed.
That's why that was actually best forecast what was going to happen, but at the time that was adopted in March,
right,
we went short.
Right, so it ended up being better than it was.
It ended up being better.
Okay, yep. That's encouraging. I have like a specific sort of reason that I mentioned this. I used to be a lifeguard at the Sun Recreation Area, and Water Authority has come out more recently with studies that are saying it's not like specific point pollution that caused the harmful algal bloom that shut down the park's water. It was, from like all new developments. Yeah. So I was worried that if we get a new development and they say, interest rates went up, no affordable housing, but we still have this requirement minimum in Clinton Township, that they then would have had to build a whole nother development. And that would increase pollution. So this is actually better than I thought.
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting. That's cool when local government figures this shit out.
Make that sure that's a mess.
I'm really excited. So thank you guys for being so patient to explain that to me. And really,
you can come and ask questions anytime.
Does anyone else have
any? I actually do.
Come on up.
We got for you to go.
Again, not dealing with this. It's my gamer.
Can you spell your last name?
I got it if you don't.
Yeah. G-E-R. And again, you know, I hate things coming out on you guys. I know you have some issues, but it is.
I get it. I get
extremely challenging to have kids and a full-time job and then literally have to check these agendas because my property specifically has been impacted potentially by every agenda for the last 2 years that you guys have. So it's challenging. You
know,
I just got that letter from the attorney. I had to go down in person to look at the archaic paper copies instead of them just attaching electronic. It's just craziness. And then it's only open during business hours.
And part of the reason, so the agendas, it's very unlikely that the agendas are going to be ready before that Friday, before Monday meeting.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much to prepare and to put in it. And all of those documents obviously would also be put in the box link, so you'd have them digitally,
yeah,
right? But again, that gives you the weekend.
Yeah.
In this case, I didn't have any. Well, I had some of the documents, but I, yeah.
I'm saying just in general, yeah. In my opinion, should not be 48 hours. It should be longer because in the corporate world, it's very unlikely you have a major meeting to set out the agenda immediately.
There's two different notices. There's the Open Public Meetings Act notice, which is the 48 hours for the meeting agenda.
Yeah.
There's a municipal land use law notice for the application for development.
Okay.
So imminent, that's 10 days.
Okay.
That's because everyone within 200 feet. Are you within 200 feet?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
within zero.
Right. You've got that notice.
Yeah.
Now, if we had a secretary at the time,
yeah,
those plans would have been digital.
Okay.
So you get the notice, you call the next day, you would have been able to get a digital copy, but we didn't have.
Yeah, again, I'm not talking about what happened.
And
I'm
probably
not saying it's just.
I probably could have found you the digital copy too. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Mr. Silvey couldn't find them, but that's because we have a gap. But I mean, Mr. Joe, back to your point, because I just want to make this point clear for everybody: the applicant notices no later than 10 days, and it is from that point that the board secretary has to put all this stuff together. Before that, you might have bits and pieces, but you won't necessarily have the whole thing. You won't have the board professionals reports.
You won't have the board professional reports, but 10 days before, everything that the applicant has to have on file is there.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he's saying in paper. What I'm saying is if we had a board secretary, we go above and beyond. There's no requirement under the law that they provide digital copies of this stuff.
But that was, I am beyond the scope of this.
I am.
Yes,
but we do it anyway.
We do it.
Yeah. The secretary, that's the only reason that stuff wasn't digitally in that box account
10 days before. So, well, then, so
So my main question, though, with the ordinance 1190-2023 that we touched on today, mm-hmm. I thought that was for public comment to talk about it. If you agreed with it,
it'll be on Wednesday.
So this is where my real question is. If we go and we have some issues with some of the things going on there, because again, this could be my best.
Come Wednesday. But
are they just going to then say, well, the planning board already approved that aspect, so we can't have
well,
okay, so no. It's actually worthwhile to go to that.
Well, hold on a second. It is, but it is likely due to the recommendation from the planning board combined with the defective notice.
But the planning board did not approve that ordinance. It wasn't their job.
Right.
Okay. All the planning board did was ask a simple question. Is that ordinance consistent or inconsistent with the master plan? That's all they made some suggestions that most likely the township governing body is going to follow. What the mayor was about to say is, if those changes are deemed substantial changes, mm-hmm. the ordinance is going to have to be reintroduced. I said that's beyond
right.
the strength. That's
but,
the kind of attorney, and because of the notice problem,
yes.
the mayor is saying most likely.
There won't be a public hearing. It'll be reintroduced and then the public hearing December 8th. So you're welcome to come make comments. It just won't be a formal public hearing. You can make comments in public comment.
Yeah,
for sure.
Just because I looked at the little reading, but the whole examination report, there's a whole paragraph about the purpose of this, you know, some of the incentives regulations to limit the development of fast food restaurants, and then it listed a bunch of the negatives. And then we get this ordinance, and to my eyes, this is saying that it's less restrictive. So back in March, you're saying...
To explain, it's not less restrictive. Fast food restaurants were permitted before.
With
drive-throughs were permitted before. You look at the definition of fast food restaurants, it talks in the very end, drive-throughs. So it's there in the existing definition, I believe.
It looked to me that it was amended to add drive-throughs.
I don't believe that's correct. You can look at the definition.
I'll look at it. But the other thing was, like, there was another less restrictive, where it didn't have to be 1,000 feet from a residential area, but that's less restrictive from a fast food. And why would that be made up? I had an idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had the fast food didn't change. We just added a definition for residential. It kind of worked.
1,000 foot residential.
I thought we kept that.
I think we intended to change that, so that might be another.
I know.
It was section
165.126.
Here's a copy there.
It's so hard with these.
And it's in the box.
Parentheses instead of
line. It is.
Hold on.
No, but I got to reopen the box.
So what do you think it was before?
Well, 165-126B. That's the one in the parentheses. It takes out.
Look at eight.
And that's a big concern for me because.
Hold on. Okay. See what he's saying?
I do.
He's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only question is about the rule that the rule says. It says 1,000 feet from your residential zone, which is located on either the same or opposite side of the street. So it's actually pretty finite around that. If it's in a different zone on a different street, this wouldn't apply, correct? I mean, it should apply, but it doesn't apply.
The intent was to space them no closer than 1,000 feet on a four-lane highway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not for 1,000 feet east or west, say, of 31.
Right.
Okay. So that
doesn't really correct. That's
actually correct. Yeah. I'm still searching it with my iPad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the ordinance committee with Bill and Tom, and they did not mean to change the current language.
No, we really didn't.
Well, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
In order to apply the 1,000-foot rule, almost all of those sites would not be able to accommodate the use. If you're 1,000 feet. The HC zone or the former C1 and LB1 zone in almost all cases abutted a residential zone. Mm-hmm. So if you had to be 1,000 feet,
yeah.
the use would be not obsolete, but there wouldn't be permitted angle.
No, there's always a linear spacing.
Right, on the same way. So you can have one every so often.
Like I said, in 31, it was not meant to be a 1,000-foot setback, you know, on either side.
And that's, I think,
right.
This is
part right. Of or, yeah, 1,000-foot buffer. But there are other zoning restrictions in place mm-hmm. in terms of buffering setbacks, et cetera, that would protect adjacent residential.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's another question.
Yeah.
That was just one of them. But the other questions I had is very specific with the self-storage, that the hours of operation were set, mm-hmm. and then it's not for some of these other things are much more likely to be open for 24 hours, which I think could be disturbing for local residents. And why is it only addressing specific industries?
Well, we did a lot of research. I did the comps on that one, and it's almost universal. I went out as far as the Delaware River and certainly as far north as Washington Borough, and everybody had the same operating hours.
No, I think he's talking about, he's not complaining about the restriction about.
Limitations on operating hours and other uses, not just self-storage.
Yeah.
Because I think if you have a regular restaurant that's not a drive-through, it's highly unlikely that that's going to be open for 24 hours. Convenience store at a gas station is also a business that's much more likely to be open for 24 hours. We're making concessions to make these more feasible. Why aren't there more brands?
I could be wrong about looking at the ordinance. But we did not intend at the time to add any new restrictions to all those uses you're talking about, restaurants, filling stations, etc.
Yeah, that wasn't a change, right?
No.
Yeah, when we went back to the re-exam, we didn't re-examine every aspect of that. Well, we re-examined a few things like self-storage. Mm-hmm. That didn't mean at the same time we were going to re-examine operating hours for everything else in the plan. Can only buy it off so much at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If someone suggests or brought to our attention that we ought to re-examine operating hours for other kinds of business, we could do that next time around. But we didn't swallow everything on this re-exam. Is that right, Bill?
There's a scope for the hour.
Right, so that's not
but your suggestion is looking at the hours of operation. We'll take that away and say it's probably something we should have. Of our long list of things we should consider, and we'll probably worthy of some discussion.
That could go on the list, right?
It probably could.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we've had this conversation.
I hadn't thought about it.
I've been on the planning board for 15 years, and I don't recall a complaint about hours of operation on the major highways. And that's what this is treating. Now, Route 22 for a couple of things, but Route 31 for a bunch of pretty much the whole stretch of it. And I'm not aware of any particular complaints about lighting or activity or anything really. So, but we'll have to take a look.
It was the old Hess station. Wasn't one of the I could be wrong on this because I think this happened. Wasn't the hours of operation changed from that because of lighting or something like that years ago?
I don't know. Had a case on the Board of Adjustment where Hess wanted to come in and they wanted to do something. I put in a generator and we said, okay, if you want to do that, we want a few concessions on lighting, for example. And they said, forget it. We are not giving up the things that we already have permitted to us in order to make this change. So they abandoned their application. Remember that one, John?
Yeah.
Also, I do. Right. So the point was they had grandfathered rights, and we saw an opportunity. So maybe we can come to some accommodations on that. Mm-hmm. You want something here, we want something back, and they declined. So their grandfather did what they had. We didn't have the opportunity to just go in and say, we changed our mind, we're going to take things away from you. We don't know that kind of good word.
Okay. And I could be misinformed. A neighbor of mine told me that there was specific hours of operation for where the gym is and Oddlaws, whatever the name of it is.
Ocean State Job Lot.
Oh, yeah.
Are those application-based?
Yes, those came to the Board of Adjustment, and when they came to us on a case-by-case basis, as they were asking for waivers from certain things, we said, okay, but we're going to give you certain restrictions on that, limitations.
Right.
But that's not a blanket. That happened as they came to us.
Case-by-case,
one by one, we made determination.
Because it does get confusing with what the planning board does versus the Board of Adjustment versus the council.
There's a whole class for that.
The hierarchy is who goes first and then who sacrifices. and when we're supposed to come, because sometimes we go to meetings like tonight, which I'm not talking about the name or anything, I'm talking about this ordinance, I thought that was for public comment.
Sure.
And it's just a waste of my time.
Well, you learned something.
No, I do, but I just, it would be better if we had a better understanding of when we should actually come and form a specific opinion.
Yeah, it's...
Public hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you have the right to ask questions and the right to speak. If you don't see public hearing, technically, right now, I don't even have to let you speak.
We like to let you talk.
Because otherwise, yeah, this helps.
The council's the only, of the three, the council's the only one that's required to hold public comment at its meeting. The planning board, zoning board doesn't have to hold any public comment at the meeting, except for a public hearing. So, it's language that's almost legalese, but the consistency review, the master plan, that's why it's a little...
Master plan consistency review.
Yeah, so
no right to speak.
Look at the Clinton Act.
Public hearing.
Yeah. And then again, if you don't do this every day.
Right. For somebody who's been doing it for 10 years, we just kind of take it for granted. Forget that not everybody
speaks like me. So again, at the council meeting, which this ordinance will be finalized, I'm assuming that's the last time.
Well,
not finalized. Okay. Introduced at first reading. They have a public hearing.
Which they did that already, I
think. We introduced it. We have not yet had the public hearing. That'll be Wednesday.
Okay.
Again, to repeat.
Yep.
The public hearing is scheduled for Wednesday.
Likely not to happen.
Okay. Likely not to happen. Not to say that it can't happen.
Yeah.
Likely not to happen for two reasons. Number one, the board has made some recommendations. Some of those might be deemed by the township attorney to be a substantial change. If there's a substantial change, they got to reintroduce. Second reason, which I think it's not likely that the public hearing is not likely to take place.
I can almost guarantee it.
Because they had a problem with that notice.
That's where the gentleman said that he was told it was here Monday and Wednesday. And it's because the ordinance that was noticed in the paper had the wrong title on it. I think it had the age 9 title on it. Because that was the last ordinance that was done. Like it was kind of like a carryover error.
Technically, you can schedule the public hearing on Wednesday.
And then Ingerman will be on the 20th. And I'll put something on the website.
Okay.
I'll put a notice out now that I officially know about.
Monday night, November 20th, 7 p.m. All right.
Good.
Thank you. All right.
Anyone else?
At the risk of anybody else? All right, so we had a motion, and now we'll keep that same motion and that same second, and we'll now adjourn. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Oh, my God. 2-0-1st meeting for you, huh?
I'm so excited.
Thank you.